Welcome to MPT Podcast. This is Pastor Tim Wilbanks. We pray that this Word of God will bless your life and ministry and increase God's blessing upon you.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Let's give the Lord Jesus Christ a hand clap of praise right now, would you? Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. Let me visit just a moment, if I may. I am honored beyond measure to be at Pentecostal Tabernacle in Middleton, Tennessee. I love to come here. This is one of my favorite pulpits to preach in. And when Pastor calls me, I say, yes, sir. And I'm so delighted to be with you and an honor to come. For a man like me that struggles to get around, you have to help me in the building and help me out of the building and help me up on the pulpit. And you furnish me a beautiful stool. I mean, why wouldn't I enjoy it? My wife asked me if I had a handkerchief this morning before I left. I said, I don't need one. She said, yeah, you will. I said, no. They always give me a brand new handkerchief at Middleton. And you take such good care of me. And this, of course, is a result of a wonderful pastor and his wife that's leading you. They're here to speak. All right. Do you love your pastor? Brother Wilbanks, you and your wife, I pray for you every day. And generally at night when I'm in the recliner before I go to sleep, if you ever 10, 11, 12 o'clock, the old man's praying for you all. And I pray that God will give them strength and power and wisdom. Because, see, I chickened out pastoring back 2017. I said, enough is enough for me. So I backed out. But I've been able to do the things that I had dreamed of, and that's travel across the country and meet a lot of wonderful people, speak in a lot of churches. Last year was blessed to be in almost, I think it was 28, 29 churches last year. And somebody asked me, do you drive yourself around? Sure I do. I can drive, and at this point, there's nothing wrong with my mouth. And I have told my friends, if I go to slipping up here, to let me know. So nobody has convinced me of that yet, but it's just a real privilege to be here. Now, Pastor always tells me to take my liberty, and I'm going to do that this morning. Is that all right? To you that might not know me, I'm not a dull old man. But I'm going to slow down this morning, if that's all right. May I just be myself for a little while? Can I just, if I had a door to my heart, just unzip it and open it for a little while and share what I feel is the greatest need that we have in America? Not only in America, but in Middleton and in this church right now. I'm not talking about last year. I'm not talking about next year, if there is one. All right. After 52 years of pastoring and 64 years of preaching, I'm stirred. I am disturbed. I'm somewhat shaken. And I'm troubled. I'm fearful in the midst of being so blessed of God that we do not realize the lateness of the hour and the importance of the church in our lives. You are in the most important building and place in Hardeman County, Tennessee, right now. There's nowhere. There's nowhere as important as where we are right now. The Middle East is on fire. How many know that? Well, I know what some of you are thinking. I've heard that all my life. Yeah, I have too. But let me tell you, there's something different going on because prophecy is being fulfilled right in front of our eyes. And if you read the book of Zechariah, it tells us that all nations of the world will turn against that little nation, Israel. Well, you say the United States hasn't done it yet, but we're marching in the streets against them right now. All right? Thank God Washington is still hanging on by a thread. But any day now, it could happen. Iran is shooting missiles and whatever into Israel. And so, according to the news, about 99% of those missiles have been shot down. But something's going on that is different. And it's high time, honey, we wake up. I don't know about all of you, but I've had about enough of this world and its system. Why is the church so important? First of all, according to Acts 20, the only purchase, not that he might not have made one, but the only recorded purchase in the Bible of the life of Jesus Christ is the purchase of the church. The Bible said he hath purchased the church with his own blood. And throughout the New Testament, we are warned to take care of the church. Now, church is our vehicle out of this world to get to glory. Let me ask you, why do you think the devil has fought the church so much anyhow? If he could stop the church, he could doom your soul. But I have news for him. God's going to have him a church. He already has one in the cemetery. So, for a few minutes, can I just talk to you?
Yes, sir.
If you open your Bibles with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 122, verses 1 and 2. Psalms 122, verses 1 and 2. David said, I was glad. Everybody say glad.
Glad.
When they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Flip the page to chapter 133 and verse 1. Behold, how good, how pleasant it is for brethren, and I'm going to add a little here, sisters. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
To dwell together in unity. Matthew, or rather Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 3. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And one final scripture, but I will refer to some others in the next little bit. Matthew 24, verse 12, in the signs of the end time that Jesus gave, he said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. The love of many shall wax cold. Would you raise your hand right where you are and ask God to speak to our hearts this morning? In the name of Jesus, help me, O Lord. Help me to encourage someone in this building. Help me, O Lord, to speak to someone that may not be ready and realize how important it is to be ready for your coming. Help me, O Lord, today and anoint me and use me, I pray, in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Let's give him a hand clap of praise as we're seated. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. I want to talk to you a little while this morning about the joys of the sanctuary, and I'm talking about the church. The joys of the sanctuary. Or I could say the importance of being a member of the family of God. The importance of being a member of the family of God. I just read to you from the book of Psalms, and the reason David said these words, it had been a long time since the psalmist had been able to worship Jehovah God in the temple in Jerusalem. Some commentaries say about 70 years rather, since he had been able to worship in Jerusalem. Adam Clark commentary said, I was glad because I could return to Jerusalem. The heart of David was made heavy by a forced absence. And then he said, my feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. About 70 years he had been exiled from the temple. So he said, our feet was in Babylon, but my heart was in Jerusalem. I'm on level with you, honey. I don't care where you are. You can be in downtown Memphis, and your heart better be at Middleton Jesus Name Abbott Tabernacle, because this is where the power of God dwells, and we meet to worship him. From the tender age of 12 years when he became acquainted with the Lord and the law, and became a member of the congregation in Israel, he had learned to love the worship services more and more and more. Probably what is wrong in modern religion today, too many people go to church out of duty. I feel like it's my duty on Sunday morning to go to church. When I left my house this morning, I happened to live on the Tin Top Waterway, and my front yard is water. Those two boats that was in my front yard this morning did not feel the importance of going to church. And I was about half mad because in one of those boats, there was two little boys in the boat. Dad probably felt real good. I'm taking my boys fishing this morning. But did he know today is the day of worship? Today is the day we go to church. So what Dad was telling those little boys, today, it should have been yesterday that he took them. They weren't out there yesterday. So he was telling those two little boys, it's more important for you and I to be together on the lake on Sunday than any other time. Come on, dads. Now, this gets a little bit straight, but I love you, and your pastor loves you, and I've come with a message for you today. It may not cause you to shout today, honey, but if you'll listen, a shout will come after a while. How many know we need to love going to church? Love going to church. That's about all I ever did all my life was go to church. And I didn't have to ask Mom and Dad if we're going Sunday morning. I knew to lay my blue jeans out, bless God, get ready. We're going to church on Sunday morning. We're going to revival of a night. We're going to prayer meeting. Come on.
Yes, sir. All right.
We need to love singing. While I'm on it, you folks are so blessed here at the Middleton Tabernacle. Wonderful music. I was just marveling every time I come at the wonderful music and praise team that you have. I go to, go ahead, give them a good hand. I've been in churches that have a much larger attendance, Pastor, that don't even have a pianist. And that they have a praise team with recorded music, and that's all right. That's all they have. But you're blessed. I said you're blessed. Love this worship. Love the singing. Love preaching, bless God. Love the fellowship of the church of the living God. I get strength when I fellowship with you all. I'm going to face a weird Charlotte devil tomorrow when I get out and travel around. And I need the fellowship of the people of God today to help strengthen me tomorrow to face what I'm going to face. I don't know about a lot of people, but I will tell you quickly, I'm just too near home to turn back now. The joyous songs and worship of the pilgrim saints going up Mount Zion was happy music to the ears of David. How many know that too many people leave home, fussing and discussing? I said fussing and discussing. I've been around a long time. You'd be surprised how many people leave home going to church and getting the fuss between the house and church.
Come on,
you know I'm telling you the truth. It ain't no wonder they have to sing 30 minutes to get some of us tuned up and ready. Y'all don't get upset with me. I'm leaving, and after a while, I'll be gone until he lets me come back again, and I'll be sweet. Amen. We don't need to leave home fussing and discussing. We ought to leave home on the way to church with a praise on our lips. What a beautiful day for the Lord to come again. It may be cloudy, but the sun is shining. It's out there somewhere. I may be crippled and can't hardly get around, but God's still God. He's still the healer. He still has all power. He still has the answer to our dilemma. Too many go to church leaving. Get it? I hope none of you come in here today with your mind on, well, it'll be over in a little while and I'll get out of here. Too many go to church with their mind on leaving. I was preaching at a place a few years back on Sunday, and I asked the pastor what time they normally got out. And I was being kind, and he said, well, you can preach as long as you want to, but at 12, we all leave. I thought, bless God, I'll leave with them. I can shut this thing down at 12. That's what they want, you know. And a lot of times we do. It's not so much the time that we leave. It's where our mind and our heart and our spirit is. If you get out before 12, that's all right. But if it runs about one Sunday when folks are praying in the altar and there's a move of God, don't have your mind on it. Woo! I tell you, we ought to walk out of here today on the way back. He announced church tonight. Walk out of here today on your way back here tonight. My mind stayed on you, Jesus. You see, worship became a part of the life of David. That's why he penned so much of the Psalms. That's why so much of it is worship and praise. That's why he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. You ever heard anybody say, oh my God, it's church night again tonight. I had something else I wanted to do, but I'm going to have to go to church. No, I don't have to go to church. I get to go to church. I'm not bragging, but I practice what I preach. Check up on me. If I'm not in this pulpit or preaching somewhere else on Sunday, I'll be sitting on my seat that's reserved for me in Tupelo. You'll find me there. In fact, in a minute, I leave here today, and I head to Tupelo to teach a class at 3 o'clock this evening. 4 o'clock, I'll be sitting on my seat ready for church. Tuesday night at 7, I'll be in my seat for church unless I'm sick or something or I'm preaching somewhere. And Wednesday night, I'm looking for somewhere to go. Amen. I was glad. I was happy. I was thrilled when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. Hey, folks, get excited about going to church. After a long absence, to be permitted once more to stand in the courts of Jehovah, I was glad. I am glad. 2017, I was stricken with a blood clot on the brain and had a stroke. Intensive care for over a week. In the hospital for 3 weeks. They tried to keep me for 6 weeks of therapy, and I'd already been therapized by Jesus Christ, so I didn't need the therapy. I couldn't wait to get out of there. Somebody said, I guess it'll be a while before you get in church. Oh, no, hon. Next service, the old man was in church. I was glad. Now, I know there's times that you can't make it. There's times that I can't make it. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about letting something come between us and our presence in the house of God at the appointed time. So much the more as we see this day approaching. You've never needed to be in your seat in the house of God when there's church going on here like right now, like right now, like right now. So David said, our feet will stand again in the courts of Jerusalem. Would it not be an order to ask how many of us that our love of the church compares with that of the psalmist? Oh, I was glad. I was thrilled. Does our entire being cry out in its desire to bow and worship at the altar of our church? Something's wrong, friend. When someone loves something or something else more than we love the house of God and the worship. Is the psalmist stating an opinion or is it something deeper than that? When he said, I was glad. 84 Psalm verse 1, how amiable are thou tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Verse 2 said, my soul longeth. Yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Well, let me ask you, why go to church anyhow? I'm glad you asked. There are those that think going to church is something we do because of society. Some place to go. The church is a place to go if something more important doesn't come up. The church usually becomes vital and necessary and dear to the heart of a person when they become acquainted with the Spirit of God.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir.
When you become acquainted with the Spirit of God and you walk and talk with Him, you long for those times that you can be together in God's house and hear the Word of God preached. Every living person, whether joyous or sad, seeks communion with God. If you don't know the Lord and the power of the Holy Ghost, that vacancy that you feel in your heart is an innate desire put there by God to commune with Him. There's nothing like it. You can do it on the job. You can do it at home. You can do it driving down the road. But there's nothing like the communication we get with God when we gather together. That's why the Bible said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much the more as we see that day approaching. Love of worship is an expression of God's love inside of us. In isolation, life's experiences are magnified.
Yes, they are.
If you're sad and you're by yourself, you're going, pardon my English, but you're going to get sadder. If it's dark and gloomy and you're all alone, it's going to get darker and gloomier.
Yes, sir. Come on. You're right, Mr. Yes, sir.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Yep.
Joys are not as great when you're isolated.
Come on.
Sorrows are heavy when you're by yourself.
Come on, Mr.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Several years ago, and if I had my phone, I really ought to have had them put it on the screen, a picture of that big buck deer that I killed. I love to deer hunt.
Yes, sir.
They say the shape you're in. Yes. And you motor right up to a shooting house and just get in and get my rocking chair and put my leg up and sleep right through it. I've killed several over the years, as many of you have. But one day, he walked out about 75 yards from me. And the one I'd looked for years, yeah, he's hanging on the wall. I got him. I can prove it. I sent pictures all over everywhere. I even sent Brother Huntley two or three of them. I wanted him to know I killed that big deer. I've showed it to the pastor here. There wasn't but one person with me the day I killed it. I wished it had been 25 or 30 so I could have bragged. It would have thrilled me for my buddies to come up and look. My joys would have been increased. That one person that was with me helped me get it out, and he was my brother-in-law, and I could tell he was kind of just a little bit jealous that I'd killed the big one, see. Here's the thing. When you're in the company of your brothers and sisters of the Lord, your joys are magnified. That's why the devil don't want you in church. He don't want you to have a real good feeling that didn't come from drugs or alcohol or something else. That real good feeling, honey, is the Holy Ghost. And the fellowship of the people of God when you come together. I got to hurry. January 30th, 1990, my bags were packed. I had my sermon notes, my Bible, my bags. And they were all in the car, and I was moments from walking out the door. And I pastored in Boonville to drive to Brunswick, Georgia, and preach a conference. About the time I was about to walk out the door, the phone was ringing. We didn't have cell phones then, or I didn't. And my wife said, the call's for you. So I came back, And I answered the phone, and voice on the other end, I knew the gentleman well. He was a physician, a doctor. And he said, "Brother Hill, can you come to Amory, Mississippi right now?" I said, "Well, I was planning to go to Georgia," but he said, "Can you come right now?" I said, "Well, yes, if it's necessary." He said, "Your brother has just been killed in an accident." My parents were old. There was 34 in our family at that time, from mom and dad, my two brothers and my sister and I, and the grandkids and great-grands. There was 34 of us. We had never had a serious sickness. We had never had a death, and from mom and dad down. Dad preached hundreds of funerals. I have. We've stood beside people that's lost loved ones. But it's like slapping my jaws, Pastor. What am I going to do? My brother Coy was in the air flying a charter to the state of Florida and could not find my brother's family. So I was to go and tell him, "Yeah, that's Bob Hill." But I had a mom and dad to worry about. In the meantime, let me summarize this. We didn't know how to act. Remember everybody else, but it never been on our doorstep. Well, let me tell you, honey, if you live long enough, it'll be on your doorstep too.
Yes, sir.
You'll be there.
It'll be there.
What are we going to do? We're trying to take care of mother and daddy. I went in to tell mom and dad after I left the hospital, and they were waiting for me. When I got there, dad was in bed. His health was already bad. And I went in and sat down on the side of the bed, and mom was sitting beside on the other side of the bed with the Bible reading it. I sure was glad. I sat down and daddy looked at me and said, "Why do you come to tell me?" I shared with my father that his oldest son had just been killed in an automobile accident. I didn't know what would happen to dad. There was no easy way to tell him. His hands went up like that.
Come on now.
Tears started streaming. He started worshiping. He wasn't worshiping the loss of his son. But he went to the one that gives all comfort.
Oh, yeah. That's it.
Huge crowd. My brother was well known. Our family was at his funeral service. There was a whole section of airline pilots that were there because he was on the way to the airport to demo a Learjet when he was killed. House packed with people. We still weeping and crying. I didn't know mom, dad go pull through this or not. But dad got the motion at me, Pastor. He was sitting on the front row and he had stools in front for his legs propped up. He said, "Larry, go up and tell those preachers, find the spot, because I'm going to come up to the pulpit and I have a few words I want to say." I said, "Okay, Dad." I said, "You sure?" He said, "Yeah, I'm sure." That was about 30 minutes before the service started. I made my way around, and in a little bit I sat down by him, and I noticed all of a sudden the rest of the family, and I began to feel different. Brother Will Banks, there was a breath of the Holy Ghost that I had never felt. Woo! It was like a breeze started blowing where we were sitting. I still shed a few tears on occasion about my brother. My mom and dad did. But I'm going to tell you something, honey. When it come to push to shove and our back was to the wall, that group of people that was in that building, that group of saints of God, those ministers and preachers and saints of God that come in that building that day. They took the load off of our back. Not only is joy is multiplied when you're in the company of the saints of God, but grief and sorrow is lightened. The load is picked up. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That's why you need the church, honey. You need the church more now than ever before. Don't let anything keep you out of the house of God. Don't let anything separate you from the house of God. I got to hurry. I'm taking way too much time. 2000, year of 2000, in the month of August, August the 11th to be exact, before I resigned Tupelo, I had one of my elderly men come to me, Brother Wilbanks, and he said to me with tears in his eyes, and I wrote it down, and I quote, "Brother Hill, I long to see the church become a place where people are drawn. Can't wait to get there. Want to come. Can't stay away. It becomes a part of their life." Unquote. He was feeling the very thing I was feeling then. How many know that we all need a church home? I'm not going to dwell a long time on this, but I want to tell you, honey, when you get home, you act like you're at home. I've been sick. I've been stressed out. I've been so tired I can only put one foot in front of another one and say, "Man, if I could just get home." There's been times that I said, "If I could just get to church, everything gonna be all right." Now, when you're at home, you act like you're at home. I live at 650 North Seymour Road, Fulton, Mississippi. If you try to find me on the GPS, don't worry about it. It quits up on top of the hill. I'm so far down, it quits. But I know the way home. When Mom and Dad was living, that was home. If I went to Mom and Dad's house and there was pie on the table, I didn't ask Mom, "May I have a piece of the pie?" Buddy, I just went and helped myself. I'm home. Come on, y'all. I acted like I was at home. If I wanted a glass of tea, I went to the refrigerator and I didn't say, "Mom, do you mind if I get a glass of tea?" I knew it was all right. I was home. About 10, 11 o'clock tonight, I'll get to 650 North Seymour Road. And when I go in the door, about the first thing I'm going to do is that right there. I don't have to ask the soul. I'm home. Hey, once you're born into the family of God, you're not a guest or a visitor anymore. Now listen to me. We treat guests and visitors with honor because we're glad they're there. We want them to be there. We want you to be a part. But after they're born into the family of God, they're not a visitor anymore. You're at home. Come on, baby, kick your shoes off. Act like you're at home when you come in the house of God. I am at home here. Woo! Let's talk about for a moment. Just give me just a few more minutes. I'm about to get there. Let's talk about the joys of getting. It's not all given for those that worship God in spirit and in truth. Some people think it's given, 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 given. It might be for those that worship formally, but the folk like the psalmist, we get a far greater return in proportion to what we give. Psalmist said in 84:4, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will still be praising thee. Verse 5, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, whose heart are the ways of him. The blessings of the worshiper are spiritual. I've never given anything to God that wasn't repaid to me over and over and over and over again. Hey! The joy of the sanctuary is come burdened and leave blessed. Come sick and leave healed, honey. Come troubled and leave peaceful. Come lost and leave saved. Come weeping and leave joyful. Come weary and leave refreshed. Come a sinner and leave a saint of God. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren and sisters to dwell together in unity. Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Because iniquity doth abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Iniquity shall increase as lawlessness increases. Increase of wickedness. Love of worldliness. Love of many shall wax cold. In case you didn't know it, it's cold outside. It's a cold world. It's a dog-eat-dog world, and the Lord knew that. That's why he purchased the church. The safest place in the world for you and your family is the church. So love it. Nurture it. Love each other. Draw close together. Try to create unity of purpose and mind, and with your mind upon God. I find myself today as an old, old preacher wanting to get closer and closer to God and to the saints of God than I have ever been. Now, if time would permit, I'd park right here, but it doesn't, so I'm going to move quick. How many know there's strength in the pack?
Amen.
Yes. One coyote can't bring a mature buck deer down. But a pack of coyotes can bring a herd of deer down. Now, I'll just throw that out for good measure. There's strength in the pack. We're a family, the family of God, all members of the family of God. He put us in the family. We're not just a group that's bound together by the things of the world, but we're bound together by the love of God. So the psalmist knew that. He knew that the joys we would be together. Sorrows would be together. Burdens would be together. And it is as a strength of the pack when you worship God together in the house of the Lord. That makes our world so much brighter. All right, that makes the function of the pastor and the minister so important. When this man of God prays and studies and prepares to feed you in church services. That's why he invites ministers to come in to help and assist to edify the body of Christ. When the man of God prays and studies and prepares to preach, you don't need to be somewhere else and miss the word that God has for you. The man of God brings to the pulpit a message fresh for every day's need. We'll get nothing from the word unless we're there to hear it. I would have missed my buck deer that I killed if I had not been at that particular spot at about 15 to 4 in the afternoon on January the 29th. Almost season over, but I happened to be there when he got there. Devil, you're not going to rob me of a blessing. When the word goes forth, I'll try to be there. Come on. I'm going to wrap this up. Please hear me for the next few moments. Perhaps the trouble lies in the way many times we enter church. After all these years, I learned a lot that I shouldn't do. But I learned a lot of people run in a few minutes late. If it's got to be late, come on. I know the parable said the 11th hour folk got paid as much as them 6 o'clock in the morning. So come on. Hello? Smile at me now. All right. You say, well, get on somebody else's toes. I'm fixing to. Some enter with noise and confusion, laughing and talking. There's nothing wrong with laughing and talking. Can I say this? I walked out in the foyer in Boonville years ago, and there's 6 or 8 men standing out in the foyer. And I walked out just in time to hear them talking about politics. My pop-off valve went right off the top of my head. Now, I encourage folks to vote. But I'm fixing to have to go in there and preach. And you dudes are out here talking about politics, and you're going to make one of these guys mad, and he's going to come in here mad, sitting here, and I'm going to have to preach over your political spirit.
Come on, Bishop.
So I told those guys, I said, you guys need to go to the prayer room.
Come on, Bishop.
Hello.
Hello.
Come on.
Yeah, you're
get the message? I got some more toes to get on. Some spend a few minutes just looking around to see who's there. Hey, I sure do love you folks. They want to see who's there. House of God not to be taken lightly. I want to see who's there too. But I got my mind on something else. How many know the atmosphere that we bring is not one of worship when we do those things? We must enter the house of God in a spirit of worship. What goes on outside many times will determine what happens on the inside. Now, generally the way a service starts, that's the way it'll end. I was glad when they said unto me, walk in these doors. Man it. I'm happy. I'm glad. I tell you what, get sick and lay flat on your back about 6 months and you'll preach along with the psalmist David. So I'll be glad to get into the house of God. Uh-huh. Now, I'm about to get where I've been headed all morning. Psalm 100 and verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Worship while the singing is going on, and I commend you folks for worship. Your offering, your tithe paying, and your offering that you've given ought to be given with a sense of gratitude. Thrilled to death I can give to the work of God, because it takes that to fund the work of God and carry it on. Have our hearts and minds right when service starts, ready to go. Then we will experience the joys of the sanctuary. I'm going to share a true story with you that happened a few years ago. I will not tell you where. It could be 100 miles from here. It might be 500 miles. It might even be less than 100 miles from here. I was asked to preach a revival in a large church. I preached for 5 nights. I couldn't buy them, amen. I'd have given $5 if somebody would have given me a good juicy amen while I was trying to preach. The pastor even asked me, would I come on Sunday night? And he had asked me to come for 2 weeks, and I made a bargain with him. I said, they'll let me off Sunday night in Boonville if we can end Sunday night, and I don't have to come back next week. I really don't feel to come back. Reluctantly, he said, okay. So they announced that Sunday night was the last night of the revival. Large crowd, house full. We sat on the front row of that church until they got ready for me. Back then, I could run up and down those steps, and they had steps. Front of the church, I won't describe too much because you might figure out where it's at. There was a lot of steps coming up with a center foyer in the middle. Doors in the middle. And they didn't care enough to even spray WD-40 on the hinges, because every time they'd open, some of them had hinges in their necks that could turn all the way around. I was there that Sunday night, sitting on the front row. We started at 6. And at about 6:15, there was a loud noise at the front door. Boom, 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 boom. Everybody in the house jumped, turned around. I even turned around to look. And to my surprise, there was an old man, 82 years old, had just staggered in. They helped him up the steps. I have found out later from a pastor, it had been nearly 20 years since he'd got to come to church. His wife was an invalid. He couldn't get out. He was crippled. He knew my dad. He knew me. He found out his last night of revival, he got somebody to stay with his wife. They brought him to church. When he come through those doors, he knocked them about half down, staggering around. But I looked. That old man stopped and planted those canes. He had 2 canes. He shook his head like this. And he said, "Whoa!" He took another step or two and planted those canes. Woo! He staggered down. He didn't stop middle ways. He staggered all the way down the aisle, down to the front. There was room down at the front for him, all right. I looked around, and I saw some ladies going. I thought, man, that's more than I've saw all week, and I've been bumping my gums together. And I could play a guitar a little bit back then, and we could sing a little. And we tried every trick we do. We sung "I Fly Away" one night, and they flew nowhere. They just sat there. Did you know that night there was a break in that church? Not only did we not close the revival, I was there weeks. Weeks. I don't remember how many was filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name. All of my efforts came to naught. But one old 82-year-old man walking in the church, staggering around, I hadn't been here in so long, I'm thrilled to get to come to church tonight. He came in like the psalmist said. I'm going to throw a challenge out to the tabernacle today. I challenge you to leave home with a praise on your lips. I'm going to challenge you. Talk about the goodness of God if there's people in the car with you. And if there's not, start talking to him how good he is. Pull in the parking lot. Get out of your vehicle. And thank God for my Ford. Or my Chevrolet. Or my truck. Or my car. Thank God for the clothes I'm wearing. The shoes I'm wearing. If I could shout right now, I'd get up and shout. Thank you, Lord, for my church. Thank you, Lord, for my pastor. Thank you, Lord, for the singing. You walk in those doors and start praising God. There won't have to be so much pumping and prodding and begging and pleading. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his court with praise. Some of you may be in the shape I'm in. You may not be able to walk, run the aisles, do what others can. I can hardly raise my hands over my head because of arthritis. But there's nothing wrong with my mouth, honey. I can still give him some praise. I may have to sit and do it. If you folks will do what the book said continually, come in here worshiping and praising God. I'm going to prophesy to you. The greatest revival that this area has ever known is going to happen because we're in the end time. Jesus said, I'm going to pour my spirit out upon all flesh. I'm going to pour it out. I don't want to cross your thinking, but get ready for a multicultural revival. Ah, I said get ready. You come in here worshiping God and get ready. They're hungry. They're starving to death what's in this building. People are hurting. They're hurting. They're hurting. You got a Bible. I'm closing. Open it to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. I tried to find some rope, and I was going to fix about 150 pieces of it, but I couldn't find what I was looking for. If I find it, if I come back again sometime, I'll bring the rope, prove my point. Notice Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9. Two are better than one. If one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. You don't even realize how much power there actually is in this building right now because we're people of God. So two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth. Now I'm going to tell you, try your best, don't fall, but you better be careful where you fall. If you got to fall, fall close to the church. Because they'll pick you up. They'll help you. Hello? If he falleth, he hath not another to help him up. If two lie together, then they have heat, but how can one be warm alone? Now notice verse 12. I hope you won't ever forget this. And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. Okay? And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. How many ever saw a rope that was plaited and like had three different small ropes together? You saw that?
Yes,
sir. You take that rope and take one piece out, it's easier to break it. Put the two together, it's stronger. But he said the threefold cord is not easily broken. Now, what does that mean? You, your church, and God. Me, my church, and God. Can't be broken. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's why it's important, necessary for you to be a member of the family of God. Thank you for your attention. Please hear from me, from my heart, because I came with a message for you today. You're wonderful people. You're a wonderful church and a wonderful pastor. But if the enemy can get you to kind of put it in neutral and coast a little bit, he's got you right where he wants you. We're too close to the coming of the Lord. This thing's about over. Hang on. Give it all you got. Act like you're at home. And do everything you can to get your family and everybody else inside the safe confines of the church. Let's raise our hands and thank God for the church.
We pray today that this word has blessed you, ministered to the needs of your life. Until next time, God bless you.